Woe unto you that go before whatever you call it and begin to put tattoo on your bodies. Turn your bodies into a signboard. He said, woe to you. When you see a woman carry African woman, carry Oyibo Indian hair and try to add to her own those attachments, you are actually replying your maker. You are asking your maker, why didn't you make my hair like the Indian hair? Woman, sister, a woman will go and carry razor blades and scrape the eyebrows. Why did you scrape it? Why did you scrape it? And you see the way God does it. After you scrape the natural one that God has put there, it will refuse to grow. It is then they will turn and look at the mirror to see now whether they are fine now. Then the next thing is they will just observe that they look like monkey. Then you will now, to cover up, you carry black chalk and then you repaint the place black. Why did you remove it before? You are questioning your maker. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2:17. Praise the Lord. He said, and the world passeth away and the loss thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Oh, glory be to God. He that doeth the will of God, 1 John chapter 2:17. That person abideth forever. That when you say forever there, it even in the context you use here, goes beyond this physical world. And so you go to Matthew chapter 7, the popular verse 21, where the Lord Jesus Christ was telling the disciples, teaching them one fact. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father. That's why he said that he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Shall abide forever. And so, and that is not everyone that say, Lord, 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 Lord. It's not enough that you are saying, oh, I'm a minister. Oh, I'm a pastor. I'm a prophet. Hey, you are carrying microphone, entering the road everywhere. No, 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 no. It's not everyone that does that. It goes beyond that. You must balance it to make sure that whatever you are doing it according to the will of God. Praise the Lord. Apostle Paul also reiterated it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And he emphasized it again. 1 Corinthians and chapter number 9 from verse 24. And I love the way he put it there. He said, know ye not. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 9 from verse 24. He said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all. All of them will run. Are you ready? Say go. Go. All of them will run. But only one received the prize. So, he said what? He said, run that you may obtain. Because many are called. Few are chosen. Verse 25. He answered that day, and every man that strives for the mastery, if you are going to receive a crown, if you are hoping to receive the gold medal, if you are going to be the best footballer, if you are going to be the one with the golden boot, if you are going to be what are the names people call them? You receive gold. He says, every man that strives for the mastery, he says, is temperate, careful in all things. Now, physically, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Why would that make that you hang on your neck add to your life? But we, the one we are fighting for, the one we are running for, is an incorruptible crown. Oh, glory be to God. Amen. So Apostle Paul boasted, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Is running with a focus, with a vision. He knows what he's doing. He knows the end of what he is doing. But to do that, the temperate, being temperate as he advised, I keep under my body and bring it under subjection. This subjection here is bringing you to the will of God. Amen. Let that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Ah, God forbid, in the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so the same Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, that popular scripture there, in Romans chapter 12, everybody quotes it. Amen. Hallelujah. And in verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. He said, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2 is my emphasis. He said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good one and acceptable to and the perfect will of God. There is the good will of God. There is the acceptable will of God. And there is the perfect will of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And why this is very important is that in walking in the will of God, we must know that there is the perfect will of God and there is the permissive will of God. And this is where I want to emphasize, and this is the main purpose for this, would I call it Sunday school? It's a Sunday school. Praise God. Okay, it's an online Sunday school. Praise the Lord. Because so many people are doing God a service without it being His will. So many people are serving God, but they will just, no, on that day you will say, I didn't even know you. So many people are serving God and they don't know that they are on their own. Praise the Lord. There is the perfect will of God and there is the permissive will of God. That is, God will permit you to do it. But His own will is what will stand. And remember, catch it very well. The perfect will of God proceeds from Him. The permissive will of God proceeds from you. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. The perfect will of God is what He, God, designed and desires for you. The permissive will of God is what you yourself designed, desired, and came for approval from God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. But His own is the one that will stand. Your own will never stand, although He permitted you. Take for instance, let's go back a little. I will just give a few examples. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, Moses, in the law, he was the lawgiver. He gave that law. Hallelujah. That if you desire to put away your wife, just write a letter. Muslims, they call it sekiuku. Just give her, if you say it three times, you may have said it three times within the last 3 years. Cover within the last 3 years. One was 3 years ago. Then another one last year. Then the third one this year. Say, I don't marry you again. The woman will still sit down after you never talk her three times. That is Islam. I'm not teaching you Islam. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But I'm not using that pattern. But you must put it in writing. The Islamic will just put it in writing. And then you can also in one day give the three letters in one day. It's a very interesting religion, the Islamic religion. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But Moses also said, just write it down so that it's an evidence that you have written that you don't want her again. So he permitted divorce. And God didn't come down to tell Moses, hey, you are wrong. Stop it. And maybe I use this portion. A brother of mine, very wonderful brother of mine, maybe he may be listening to me now, in his argument about we in our church, brother assembly, we teaching and insisting that women coming together when praying or we gather in the church, that they should cover their hair according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And he said, William Branham did not teach that women should cover their hair. And in fact, in his church, women were not covering their hair. And he said that William Branham, God told him everything, every little thing. He said, do you think that if it was important in the worship of God that the woman should cover the hair, wouldn't he have told William Branham, being the prophet to the age? Praise God. Well, Moses gave a permissive law. And God will have come down to tell Moses. And Moses, none, William Branham, did not reach the level of Moses in relating with God. Praise the Lord. In vindication. No human being on earth apart from the Lord Jesus Christ that has had the vindication that Moses had. William Branham did not have 100 vindication. 100. One over 100 vindication of Moses. And I say this with all humility. Because whatever is the vindication of William Branham, it is his personal testimony. But Moses' one was visibly seen by everybody. Praise the Lord. Everybody, they saw the cloud. They saw him came out. They could not look at his face. When he remained in the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights. By the time he came out, the glory that was around him, physically they could not behold him. Praise the Lord. And anyone that withstood Moses, openly God judged that person. Hallelujah. Openly God judged that person. Go and find out from Delta Quran, Abraham. Hallelujah. Vindication that they saw the cloud moving. And there was no controversy for any scientist to say it was a rocket that formed it. And the argument about it. When God vindicates, there's no argument. Everybody saw the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Not in a picture, but physically. Now, yet, he was saying something against the perfect will of God. And God didn't stop him. There is a reason, that's what I'm saying, why God will not tell William Branham. There's a reason why God will not stop his prophet Moses. And so in Matthew chapter 19, I say this with all humility and with due respect to all followers of the ministry of William Branham, that many of us get him wrong. Matthew chapter 19 is a scripture every intermittent believer knows. And it's a scripture that every polygamist hates. Verse 3, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any cause, every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. They said unto him, why did Moses, in Deuteronomy chapter 24 verse 1, then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He said unto them, this is the reason. Because Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away, permitted you to put away your wives, but permissive, perfect will of God. From the beginning, it was not so. Because in the beginning, it was not. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. It says, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. God brought Eve to Adam. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, be joined together with his wife, and the two of them shall become one. And what God has joined together, he said, let no man put asunder. And I say unto you, amen. Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery, and whoso married her which is put away, doth commit adultery. Therefore, divorce in the Old Testament was permissive will of God. Because even in Romans chapter 7, if you read verse 2 and verse 3, it says a woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. Till death do us part. You have no reason under the perfect will of God to divorce. Because in Malachi chapter 2, verse 14, reading from verse 14 to verse 16, it said God hated putting away. Say, so you are treacherous to your wife. If not be honest, you put her away. It is wrong. God hates it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, divorce was permitted. But now, it is called adultery if you do that. Imagine. In Matthew chapter 5. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 5, in verse 31. He said, it has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. According to Moses, in Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committed adultery. Hallelujah. What was permitted before, now it is called adultery. Perfect will of God. Christ came to establish God's perfect will. And I'll say some of these things at the end of this message. I'll give a few minutes in case you need question. You have any question, because this is practical Christianity. And we must, it's not something you put in the head. You are supposed to be a doer of the word. This is what affects every one of us. The need to walk with God acceptably. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't assume salvation. Ensure salvation. They went to the temple with Christ Jesus, Mary and his father, so-called father, Joseph. They went with Jesus, but they left the temple without him. That's a message entirely. Amen. They assumed that Jesus was with them as they were going, living their life, moving and going back to where they came from. And it took so long before they realized Jesus was not with them. Brethren, the time is going to come as you walk with God that there are things, pointers around you that will let you know that you should retract your steps and go back. Jesus may not be with you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, so I will allow you to ask questions. Another example is polygamy. In the Old Testament, so many wives, hundreds of wives, David married, Solomon, 1,000 of them, married, they were packing them like groceries in a supermarket. They just buy them and then pack all of them and keep them at home and marry all of them. One man, 1,000 women. Hey, Solo. Hey. Hey. Praise the Lord. How is he able to keep them? To keep one. Ah. Praise God. Amen. But I want you to note, as I rush through this, but one man, Solo, kept 1,000 of them. He kept 700, the first wives, then kept 300 concubines outside. Okay, 300 wives, 700 concubines. Okay, whatever it is. Otherwise, 300 wives, 700 concubines. David too. It was. I don't know. He learned that from his father. Amen. But one interesting thing there is that we catch here. Hallelujah. That we catch here is that the story of David. He went and was interested in Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, and went up to the extent of killing Uriah and went and married her. Aye. Womanizing spirit is a terrible spirit. Okay, let me not go that way. Where I'm going is the will of God. Hallelujah. And as he went and married, God spoke to Nathan the prophet. Nati, go and tell this man again. Praise the Lord. Catch this language in 2 Samuel chapter 12. He had now gone and married Bathsheba. Then, chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan, the prophet Nathan, unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, he started by a parable, a proverb. There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe and lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and he grew up together with him and with his children. He did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own head to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was great, the king. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold. Because he did this thing and because he has no pity. Hey! And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Oh yeah? Die now. Thus said the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel and delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. That's your testimony, that's your history. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wife or wives. Wife or wives. Wives, plural, into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Jacob. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Even if you wanted more women, I would have given you. Verse 11. Thus said the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thy own house, and I will take thy wives before thy eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. My emphasis is that he said he's even the one that gave him those wives. Praise the Lord. But in the beginning, it was not so. It was only one rib that was taken out of Adam. Not two, not three, not 1,000. In the beginning, it was not so. Therefore, David, Solomon, and all the Israelites, including Jacob, that will suffer for 40 years just to get one woman, suffer another 7 years just to get another woman that he likes someone to add to the one he had. Ah, Jacob! Praise the Lord. Amen. And maybe there are more Jacobs looking at me now. Maybe there are more Jacob, polygamists, womanizers, that are looking at me now. Woman is no food that you will eat. So I don't know what you're accumulating them for. And when they say that we should repopulate the air, replenish the air, be fruitful and replenish, it's not only one person they give. So only you cannot repopulate the earth if it is for repopulation. The thing that's worrying you, it's a demon called polygamy. It's the name of a demon called polygamy. It's worrying you. Praise the Lord. I know some people are going to ask me a question. What should I do with the rest? Until you ask me that question, let me continue. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the beginning, it was not so. It was the permissive will of God. Now, if you are a Christian, it's one man, one woman. Praise the Lord. Another example, permissive will of God, is Israel looking for a king. You can find that in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and 1 Samuel chapter 12. Brings out the story. We all know the story. Israel as they were moving in their journey from here, from Egypt to the promised land. They were passing through nations and they were seeing how their kings were leading in battle and all the glory and everything. And they also wanted to be like the Moabites, the Amorites, the Philistines, and all those nations they were passing through. And they also desired to have a king. God's perfect will is that he, God himself, will be their king.
That's right.
Oh, praise God.
Amen.
He was to be their ruler. And he was ruling by the vessel they can see through the prophets.
Amen.
For the word of the Lord always come to the prophet. And that is why it started with Moses for them, and they moved along. And now, in they are here now, as they reached their promised land, they said they also wanted a king. And they were rejecting Samuel. Samuel said, I never cheated you. You have no reason whatsoever. I did not covet anything that belonged to you. But you say you want a king? Well, this is the type you will get to. He will collect, he will make you their servant. He will make you his servant. He will collect all your land. All your land will be under him. He will be the one to be sanctity of all for your whole land. He is the one, no, he will do this. He will have life and death over him. You everything, no. He told them how he will look like. They say, whatever it is, give us our king. They rejected the kingship of God. Now, one would have expected that you just leave them. But God still stepped in and was appointing the king for them. He was the one that appointed Saul. He is the one that appointed David. He is the one that appointed. And because he's appointing, send a prophet to appoint, if you look and see, he's appointed by God. Yes, he's appointed by God, but that is his permissive will. The perfect will of God is that he will be the king. And he is coming in the millennium to rule as the king. God himself will rule this earth through his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus himself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So Israel having a king was under God's permissive will, although he was the one mentioning the name, even mentioning who is the king. Amen. Hallelujah. I give another example. In Genesis chapter 15 and chapter 16 also, we have the story of the birth of Ishmael. Hallelujah. The birth of Ishmael, we all know that God had promised Abraham a seed. First, in thy seed shall the families of the earth be blessed. And Abraham thought he had no child, he thought it was Eliezer. And God tell him, no, it will not be your servant Eliezer that will inherit you. A son that will come out of your bowels. And so, he came again and promised that child. 25 years later, the child had not come. And so, we know the story of how his wife Sarah thought, we have grown old, she's getting to almost 90 years. Abraham, you're getting to almost 100 years. Already, so this promise, you say, Abraham, you will stay here without child. Well, I have one, maybe the problem is in my womb. Amen.
Amen.
God help us to understand how to walk with God.
Amen.
Amen. It's easy for us to tell story of what has gone past, but when you are in it, you are now a story to be written in future. You are not able to go through. That is the problem with us. For he is the Lord. He changeth not. It was by his principles. Praise the Lord. And what happened? He got Ishmael through Haggai, the maid of Sarah. And praise the Lord. We know the story. When Abraham was going to, the promise came again, and Abraham was mentioned Ishmael. And God still said, it's not Ishmael. Ishmael is your own arrangement. I am not the one that did it. Ishmael will come from your marriage between you and your wife, Sarah. And that seed that will come from him is the one that I, praise God, that the promise will come through. Amen. But this your son, Ishmael, is also from you, so he will be blessed. He's bearing your name. But in him, in your son Isaac, will that promise come to pass. It's emphasized in Galatians. Let's read Galatians chapter 4, verse 22. It says, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, was not according to the will of God. But he of the free woman was by promise, by the word of God." So you can see in verse 28, "Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Verse 30, "Nevertheless, what said the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman." Isaac had to be separated. The perfect will alone shall stand. Isaac was the perfect will. Ishmael was the permissive will. And the counsel of God, that shall stand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If I give another example that will explain women ministries. Anointed women of God. Very anointed. Even under them, people are receiving salvation. People are receiving Holy Ghost. People are receiving eternal life. Under it, crowds are coming. Mighty healing and deliverance through women of God. And this will also explain to us the anointed ones at this end time, who are doing all the nonsense they are doing, but the name of the Lord is still being glorified in their midst. Praise the Lord. Moses, in the story of Moses, in Exodus chapter 17, verse 6, when the children of Israel were tested and they were crying, Moses went before the Lord, and the Lord gave him the solution. What is the solution? Go and strike the rock. A rock appeared. Moses went with his rod that he held and struck it. Water came out. There was revival. The whole Israel drank water. And there was revival. Moses the revivalist. Moses the great man of God. Moses, 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 Moses. The same situation came up again in Numbers chapter 20. If you read it from verse 8 to verse 13. Moses again went before the Lord. But the pressure this time was too much on Moses. And he was so angry. That instead God told him, "Now this time around, you are to speak to the rock. That rock you see there cannot be stricken twice. This time, speak." I want you to note that he went to the rock. Out of anger, he struck the rock. He did the wrong thing. God did not tell him to strike. God told him to speak. But he struck the rock. One will expect that the water will not come out. The water came out, but it came out under the permissive will of God. He did the wrong thing. But water came out to meet the need of the thirsty Israelites. He will not deny them that blessing. That they came, they were expecting. They came before the rock again. They are expecting that it happened before it will happen. But unknown to them, Moses did it wrongly. But because of their faith, that is exactly what happens in all these funny, funny places. Even where you go to buy anointing oil, to buy anointed water, anointed handkerchief, where you go and they dupe you of your money in the name of Jesus. Where they sell apron for you. To say if you wear it, Amroba will not shoot you. Where you wear the t-shirt, the same sticker, if you put it in your house or your car, danger will not come near you. And all this pool, that they say if you jump inside, pool of Bethesda, I don't know what Bethesda is in Israel. I don't know how they have found itself to Nigeria. And then you are sick, you jump inside. Now you discover that people jump in there and they are receiving healing. And they are thinking, hey, that's a man of God, that's a man of God. Hey! By the Issachar anointing.
Man of God. Right.
You should not be foolish but wise. Now, in your ignorance, because you believe that that is of God and you have a need and you are actually coming to God, God honors your faith. Although that man of God is doing the wrong thing, but God honors your faith and makes you have the testimony you are looking for that brought you there. He's such a merciful God. They drank the water and there was revival, mighty, mighty revival. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. But while they were doing their revival testimony and everything, God was angry with that man of God. Now God is angry with Moses. And because he did that, the people were rejoicing in a revival, but a death sentence was hanging on Moses. Moses did not make the promised land because he did not do it according to the word of God. He did it on his own. That was his offense. And that is still happening now. I'm saying this for any sincere and honest man of God that may be listening to me now. For you to know that the miracle signs and wonders are happening in your ministry is not a proof that you are in the perfect will of God. Or that you are right. It is God that may just be honoring the faith of the people. That his name will be glorified. But your relationship with God also matters. That is why in Matthew chapter 7 verse 21, not all that say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom. He said, many will say, was it in your name I did this and did that? And you say, I didn't know you. Get thee away from me, ye that walk iniquity. The only one that will enter into the kingdom of God is he that doeth the will of my Father. And that will is his perfect will, and it is in the Bible. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So we have to catch that very well. Amen.
Amen.
That you do anything contrary to the Bible, amen, there is a judgment that hangs.
That's right.
Again, that you go and have testimony from that woman ministry is not approval from God of her ministry. Because the Bible forbids a woman, it forbids a woman from pastoring any church. A woman cannot be a leader in the church where men are. You cannot lord over a man. The Bible is against it. So all these women that have been ordained as women pastors, women general coordinator in the denomination, in those family businesses called family churches, what they call it. I hope you are hearing me now. When I talk like this, you get angry. You know, maybe because of the way I'm saying it. But how would I say for you to really call your attention? I'm saying it the way I'm saying it, to call your attention. You want me to pamper you, Abby? You are doing something when I know that you are a true seed of God. And then you are only doing things out of ignorance. And you say, I should allow you to go and die like Moses died, Abby, so that you won't enter the promised land. No, I want you to enter the promised land. That's why I'm saying it. I'm not doing competition. I don't have branches. So don't think that I'm trying to open a branch in your area, so I'm converting your people to follow me. You know, it is contrary to the Bible. You know, having church branches permissive will of God. The powerful will of God is what we are doing in Brother Assembly Church. Don't have a branch and then appoint people, manufacture and produce your pastors, and send them, and then to go and work for you. Then you are paying them salary, and then they are bringing that an offering to the headquarters. There is no such pattern in the Bible. It is an empire. That is a business center. You people are opening everywhere. There is one man. Is it that the Freeze or who was the person that said Falana? Falana said that what you people are doing. I think it's lawyer. He said, imagine when the Bible says, you know, gave a prophecy that in the latter times. I think it's Peter. Let's read what the Bible says. You see, this is just fulfilling right before our eyes. Ah! 2 Peter chapter 2, from verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who prevalent shall bring in damnable heresies, even deny the Lord that bought them, and bring upon them swift destruction. I say, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. He said, and through covetousness shall they with sealed words make merchandise of you, business centers, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. You know what you are now making unbeliever like Falana to make caricature of us. Telling you that the churches, that those church branches are business centers. And of course they are. They are your business centers. People who have no business at all going to into pastoral office. You know that God didn't call you to go and pastor. You know, the only ministry is not pastoral ministry. But why? Amen.
Amen.
Their belly is their God. Eh? Romans chapter 16. It says so now. Verse 17. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, it says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Now, this scripture means so much in the body of Christ, the confusion that it caused, even in your local assembly, even in Bride Assembly Church, you will have such spirits there. Those who are looking for food come into the ministry for food to eat. And they do it by playing politics in the church. Divide this against this. Convert this one to follow me. This one is to follow Pastor Moses. This one is for me. This one is for you. It's a gathering them. And every day, they have done this to me. They are doing this to me. They don't know why they are treating me like this. They are doing this to me. They are doing this to me. You never see them complain about ministry things. It's not saying that they don't allow me to exercise my gift. I want to go and preach. Don't allow me to go and preach. Verse 18 says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but who? Their own belly. And see how they do it. For by good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. That's the condition of the churches today. Food to eat. All they see on the cross on Calvary is what that man of sorrow hanging there, the food they can get from him. The same spirit that was on Judas. All Judas saw in Jesus is that he can make quick money from him. Until he will go and sell him to make money from him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Therefore, the anointing that flows in your ministry, the number of branches that you have, the crowd that come to your ministry may not be the approver that you are in the perfect will of God. So, check the scriptures to see whether you are in this perfect will or not. I give one more example. Balaam. Hallelujah. Balaam, you get that story in Numbers chapter 22. As King Balak, the king of the Moabites, saw Israel coming, they had their testimony, and they were going to pass around, the fear caught him that they may come here and take over their land. Because anywhere Israel goes, something must happen. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Their Jehovah God was moving with them. Cloud by day and fire by night. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And fear caught him, and he went and hired Prophet Balaam. Some people are coming, you know, see what I heard about them, I beg, come and curse them for me. And Balaam said, wait, let me go and inquire how I'm going to do this work. Praise God. And he went to inquire from God. Listen very well, we're talking about the permissive will of God and the perfect will of God. And he says, as he got to praying, did night vigil, maybe he went to the mountain, and the way he used to contact God, and the Bible says, God came and told him, those people, they are my people, they are my covenant people, I have blessed them, you can't curse them. Oh, there cannot be enchantment against Jacob. Whom I have blessed, no one can curse. Who will be against us? If God be for us, who will be against us? That's all God said. In the morning, he said, go and tell the Kingo, this is not possible. These people are special people. Balak came back. Balak said, you know, enter spirit. Where? Offered him more money. William Branham emphasized so much what Apostle Paul also told Timothy. The love of money is the root of all evil. you see people fighting inside church. Now money. Check very well. Now money. Hallelujah. Money. Amen. When they come to church, there are two groups of people that come to church. People who come to look for God, and people who come to seek for position. And the purpose of seeking for position so that they'll have food to eat. And the two of them have different way of scheming to achieve it. They will come with corner, then take position. Oh, tap! When they are there, then you will see the kind of trouble they start. Oh, praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The love of money is the root of all evil. And so they brought to Balaam money, silver. When the man saw it, he said, what happened again? He said, the king, he said, enter spirit. You didn't enter spirit. Enter again now. The man saw the gift and went back to the for prayers. Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And let me tell you this, and that is the truth. In case you are watching me, don't try it. If you do that, you lose something very important. I don't allow people who come to me for they need prayers and begin to open their mouth and tell me, Pastor, if this prayer, God answered this prayer, I will do this for you. I will do this for the church. If you don't do that, you have killed me. Because when I begin to pray for you, the question in my mind is, am I praying because I want that problem to go or because of the promise that he promised me? If I'm praying because of the promise you promised me, I'm not better than Balaam. So while you open your mouth, I would say stop it. You want me to pray for him? But if you insist, you talk him, you are finished. The next thing, all of you that have watched me, you know before, I will call another minister and say, please handle his case. He's here, handle his case. They go. Because my conscience will not allow me to handle you again. I hate that. That I have to handle your case because of what I will gain from you. That spirit, may it go far from my residence in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And far from you too. And Balaam saw it and went into the spirit. And when he went this time, this is the interesting part. God told him, okay, go and curse them. Go. It's what I put in your mouth, you will tell them. Listen very well. The first time he went to ask that, and the answer that God gave him was God's perfect will. The second time that he went, that God told him, go. Who told him to go? Answer me now. Who told him to go? God told him to go. And he's not lying. Is he lying?
No.
After he went, did not vigil. The voice came, the same voice that spoke to him yesterday, spoke again today. Go, my servant, I'll be with you. I'll put my word in your mouth. Go. Then he entered his car. He's going to Hapia. To go and curse somebody there. You are asking, Prophet Yejaka, where are you going? The Lord said, I should go and deliver a whole village. Meanwhile, you heard that the village meeting had made contribution of 10 million naira. And that is the reason you are going. You went to the Lord in prayer. Your mind is in that, oh Lord. All my problems this year is solved. I will finish out my building. Say they say, I enter Christianity. Say I will not prosper. See my God now. Hey, now where you they walk, you they chop. You know, there are a lot of scriptures, a lot of proverbs that will come your head to justify it. Then you enter and say, Father, should I go? Before you start praying yourself, the voice say, go my servant. I will use you and turn the village upside down. But meanwhile, it's because of that 10 million. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I know the story of a prophet in this church some years back. Now, all those funny spirits, they have all left the Bride Assembly now. And I thank God for these ones that are with us now. I remember a pastor, Pastor Abby from Abuja, You called me yesterday and you were commending Prophet Sunday. And you were saying something you observed. You are a pastor yourself. That a prophet that will minister, and then when they come, they will say, but this case, I'm not the one that will handle it. It's our daddy that has the grace to handle it. And you are saying that he was, they recognize grace in other people. That means there is no pride in him. And that you were commending, said that is how it should be. And that is actually how it should be. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Anyway, that prophet, I'm telling you now, we are talking about the will of God, the purpose will of God, and the permissive will of God. That is because of that money, you may be going to that place. Because of that money, you may be going to that family deliverance. If money is the factor for going, the spirit of Balaam is in you. And he said, and he was saying it like a testimony, shamelessly, before me. And other people were just talking. Came by the side and they said, that don't mind these people. He came here and did. Made me pray. Went to the mountain, said, pray. Then they paid him the money. Finished. And then he didn't remember me. He didn't come again to me. I was angry. Now, I enter spirit. I close that door. I closed that door. And I was looking at him. I was not looking at a prophet of God. I was looking at Balaam. In fact, Balaam is even better. Because Balaam had the fear of God in him. I was looking at a witch. Wizard. You are not the prophet of God, you are not the man of God. You will call somebody. When the Bible says, the gift you receive, freely you receive, freely you should give. Because somebody made a promise to you, or you had an expectation that he will remember you, and didn't come to you after you prayed for him, then you say you curse him, say you close it. He said, and it happened. Don't mind, he has been calling me now. I refuse to pick his call. You are a witch. You are not a servant of God. Balaam is even better than you. Your character is not even fit to enter the Bible. There is nobody for us to even compare you, other than to compare with Satan. Don't do that, servants of God. I'm saying it so hard, so that somebody will know how Balaam was running and going because he said he heard the voice of God, until an angel was waiting on the way to finish him. But you heard the word of God. Then why is the angel going to finish you? Because you were going under God's permissive will. But how will God, why will God tell you to go and then go again and finish you? He explained in Ezekiel chapter 14. The first 11 verses there, I paraphrase, you can read it on your own because of time. He said, son of man, listen very well, Ezekiel. If these people have idols in their hearts, they have made up their minds on what they will do. But to fulfill all righteousness, they come with their idols in their heart and they want to come and inquire of me. Should I answer them at all? In short, okay. If they come to you, prophet, if they come to any prophet with that attitude of mind, he said to inquire, he said, I will answer them by myself. How will he answer them? You have already made up your mind that this is what you want to do. Then you want to pacify your conscience, knowing that you must seek the face of God first. Then, but you know that whether he talk or not, this is what you will do. Then you are coming to him. He said, he will answer you by himself, according to the idol of your heart. Before you sit down, the prophet will say, go, the Lord will say, it is granted. So that he will catch them by the idol of their heart. Because you didn't come to inquire from him. You have come to make mockery of God. Who knoweth everything. Who seeth our heart. Who judges our motives. You are coming to make a mockery of him. So when you go to the mountain and you are asking for anointing, what is the purpose for asking for that anointing? God is seeing the purpose that you have been there 7 days, dry fasting, nearly die. Lord, anoint me. So that you will go and use it to be collecting money from people. And then you are asking God, Lord, anoint me. He will anoint you. And you are going in the path of bed. There is a repercussion under permissive will of God. Even your choice for marriage. You already make up your mind now that you will marry you. In fact, you have already engaged the girl already self. I'll marry you. Then you are saying, we'll go pray. Which one come first? You have already made up your mind, I will marry him, I will marry her. My mama suffer, me I no go suffer for any man hand. The way my mama suffer for papa hand, me I no go suffer. This man get money, whether he be Christian or not, God will understand. After all, salvation is a personal thing. Me I will still be serving my God now. Me I will just, let the Lord say I no pray, make I go to Prophet Samuel Ngoko. And then before you sit down, as you come with that thing in your heart, opium. Amen. God will tell you, it is done. Go, that's your wife. Go and marry. Go and marry. Oh. Go and marry. Go and marry. All the ones where they are around you. You know one. Now the one where they Sokoto. Now you want to go pick. All these ones that are here with you. Praise the Lord. And you brothers. Amen. That have disappointing spirits. You dash the hope of our sisters. Five sisters all around the church. You won't marry, you won't pick from there. You go to your village. I'm going to carry one and come. Then, all this, it has effect though. Because all these ones who are here will be angry. All the recharge card they were giving you. Hey. All the money they were giving, say, just lay in my heart. Onyejeka, take. Take. Justin, take. Then you are collecting it all before you are using. Now, Sister Mary, I ain't give you. The shirt where they wear, now Angelina, I give you. The shoe that you are wearing, it is what's the name again? Paulina that gave you. And then after all this, on top of your cloth, your head down, the badge of seven sisters are on you. Then you disappoint. If you pick one, say, out of them, the rest will say, at least one of us. Then you go out of the church, go pick, come, while light and light, they fight you. It's unfair now. That's disappointment. Then you go before the Lord. Lord, I want to. You already say, I will never. You have read, I will never marry from Brother Assembly. I will never. Never. Position, never. Meanwhile, the powerful will of God for you is in the corner there around you. Because in your environment, that is where God blesses you. You can't be here and expect your blessing to come from somewhere. That's why you should be careful where, how you behave in your environment. That's the truth. Praise the Lord. Then you are going to Prophet Sunday. Prophet Sunday, I don't know, concerning my marriage, I've not told anybody. Before you say, no, don't need to tell me now. Your wife is not in Brother Assembly. Then you say, I talk him. I know, I talk him. I can never marry in Brother Assembly. You don't know that. It's God giving your heart a desire. You have already spoken it. Praise the Lord. Your choice, even concerning ministry. Ministry. Praise the Lord. I believe I have a pastoral calling. Pastoral calling. The most difficult ministry to enter into is pastoral, if you will do it properly. Everybody want to jump into pastoral. If God didn't call you into pastoral ministry, you are operating under the permissive will of God. And there are problems that are associated with it. Oh, praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And many others, in many other areas of your life, even including the profession you want to enter into. The choice of your profession. Is it because you see that everybody that is, into IT, is making money, therefore I take IT. Oh, you see, every mechanics are making money, then you decide that you read mechanical engineering. If that's your purpose, so that you make money, you see others, that is why you enter. Okay. You go and pray. You know, God will give you his permissive will. Praise the Lord. Amen.